Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Joe.
Hey, Joe. Hey.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great. We got a great show for you guys today. We have an interview with Robert, and he is with Mansfield Prison. And you guys all know about that, so we're not going to tell you about that because we just did a show a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it's probably been a few weeks ago now about Mansfield. And we had an opportunity to talk to him at the old St. Joseph's Fair. We've done a few interviews. You guys listened to a few great interviews. I think that we got the best interviews we've ever had on all our shows from St. Joseph's. From St. Joseph's. I mean, that was a great show.
It really was. There was so many cool people that had attended and then had vendor spaces there, and just very interesting people who, you know, loved the paranormal and just had amazing talents.
Yeah. And speaking about amazing people, you had...
Oh, hey, me? No, I'm
just kidding. I couldn't make it this morning, but...
Oh, yeah. So it was really cool. It's just like been a week of cousins coming in and out of town. So we had like a mini family reunion today and got to talk to some of our cousins who are probably listening to this podcast right now. So shout out to all the Shortridge side and the Best side.
Hey, cuz. Yeah, I couldn't make it. I was actually in my yard all day long in this heat.
Great, though.
And it didn't really seem that hot out. I mean, of course, my yard is full of trees, so I got a lot of shade. But a lot of people know that I make cornhole boards. Mm-hmm. And I made, 16 sets?
That's great.
I was like...
Business is booming.
It was cornhole madness, I called it today. I looked at my yard, and they're laying all over the yard.
It probably looked like gravestones laying there, you know, like the old-time ones, but they were laid down.
Uh-huh. Well, Dana ordered a coffin-shaped set, so I got to make those up for her.
Yeah, definitely. Those were fun. Remember, we gave a set away at last year's Collingwood Art Center Paranormal Fest.
Yeah, so which is coming up.
I know.
Fast.
So exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting. So, let's see. What other good news is going on in our lives? Well,
I don't know.
I had a really good reaction to a story that I wrote for the Haunted Toledo website.
Oh, cool.
I did one on a circus train disaster. And on Trumbull County, Ohio, there was a UFO sighting.
That was cool.
So stay tuned. We're going to have more information on that.
Yeah, I want to definitely do a show about that.
Future show. So stay tuned on that.
Yeah.
But other than that, we've just been really busy and we have some exciting traveling coming up. We're going to do some investigations here coming up.
Yeah.
One of the places that we have on our booked to investigate is a haunted prison.
Yeah, so we, you know, with the interview that we did, we want to mention about the prison. But did you know, I just noticed in the news, Chicago is getting a ton of Mothman sightings.
No way.
Yeah. The latest one was on May 5th of 2017 at 8 p.m. in Calumet Park in Chicago. A law enforcement officer and his son actually witnessed one, and plus tons of people in the park, they witnessed it also. They said it was a flying humanoid about 6 feet in height, and the witnesses estimate it to be 10 feet wide, wingspan of 10 feet. Wow. They said it was black or grayish in color. But, you know, after reading this story, you can actually go on this story, look up the website I'm looking at right now is K1025.com. So it must be a radio station. Lake Michigan Mothman. And you can click on a map, a regular Google map, and it shows you all the Mothman sightings in the Chicago area since 2001.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's 15 of them.
Do you want me to read like a witness statement here?
Sure.
Okay. So it says it was a 7 to 8 foot solid black humanoid with wide membrane wings. It resembled a huge bat. The wingspan was at least 12 feet. The head was prominent and thinner than a human head. The back of the body had tapered to a point. No legs were noticed, but they could have been tucked under the body. The figure was seen gliding along the length of the street, heading east, then suddenly ascended into the night sky. neither heard a sound. Both the witnesses mm-hmm. said that they had felt a sense of foreboding and were terrified for almost an hour after the wow. encounter. Yeah,
what site is that on?
That was on this other show that's really popular
that
talks about all kinds of mysterious things.
Oh.
We'll
do they have
it.
Funny accents?
They do.
Oh, okay. Which reminds me, we had a person message us on our 222 page.
Oh, yeah?
And he's from Australia.
Oh, neat.
And he said that you have, how did he put it? But he's like, he loves your accent.
Oh, I didn't know he had an accent.
I didn't either. I was like, dude, that's gross. what did he say? I should have looked it up, but I didn't think about it till just now. But it's so funny.
Likes my accent.
But he said that he's not a pilot. He did. He said it in the message. He says, "I'm not a pilot, so I'm not like that other guy."
Oh my god, that's so funny. I didn't even see that, but yeah, cool.
One of our many listeners from Australia.
Well, we love all our national and international listeners. We appreciate them all.
So before we get into the interview, mm-hmm. before we play the interview for everybody, let's talk about a couple of other prisons. One of the prisons that we are going to, and as you're listening to this show, because we're recording it 1 week in advance, we will be in Moundsville,
West Virginia.
West Virginia at the mm-hmm. penitentiary.
Yep. So they call it West Virginia Penitentiary.
Okay.
And it's was on the list as one of the top 10 most violent prisons in America when it was still, mm-hmm. you know, an active working prison. I believe it closed somewhere
95, I think it was.
In the 90s. It was Which built.
Wasn't there? There's so many things that seem to close around 95. I wonder what that is. Why
I don't
that?
Know. Maybe there was just some kind of change in the regime and the government and, you know, funding for older buildings and more of a need for, mm-hmm. you know, something a little bit
That's
more
possible.
Secure.
Yeah. You know, it was originally built only to hold 251 people.
Wow.
I don't know how many people ended up staying there, but I can imagine.
Well, I'm sure it was definitely overcrowded.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's so looming looking. If you took it, you know, take a picture or look at a picture of it, it looks like a castle.
Well, I'm going to definitely post some pictures when we get there.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm taking all my camera gear.
So this place is particularly haunted because of so much of the violence that had, you know, gone mm-hmm. in any prison.
It was said, did you just mention, I'm not paying attention, but did you mention about how it's one of the most violent?
It was, yes, when it was actively working. So they have something there called the Shadow Man.
Really?
Yes. So he is a spirit that they you know, commonly called the Shadow Man. He lurks in the midst of the shadows, and then he's seen in the halls and in the cells. And he says that he's like composed completely in a dark, ominous shape. And he has been known to, like, his eyes bore into people.
It sort of like the shadow people that we talk about with mm-hmm. the red eyes?
Well, I didn't see anything that said particularly red eyes, but the eyes, people were noticing the eyes boring into them.
Well, there's a few famous ones, mm-hmm. you know, famous ghosts, like R.D. Wall. He was one of the snitches of the prison.
Okay.
You know, there was over at least 1,000 murders there and suicides.
Oh, my gosh.
The records aren't really that clear. But as far as they can tell, there's 1,000 murders.
Did they have executions there as well? Okay, so
there was actually 20 or 85 hangings and 9 electrocutions.
Oh my goodness,
Old Sparky! But
that's a lot.
Robert or R.D. Wall is one of the ghosts that they say a lot of times you'll see him down in a boiler room because that's where he was killed. Mm. He was just a guy that got jumped. And they say that they see him all the time. One of the other weird ones is William Sider, or Sider, S-Y-D-E-R, mm-hmm. better known as Red. He was one of the leaders of the Aryan Brotherhood, and his spirit is seen a lot. But the funny thing about him was he's called the Soap Lover because he watched Days of Our Life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's funny. I thought it had a different meaning.
Yeah. I mean, he was stabbed also, but they really don't give too much information about him. And then one other real popular one is Paul Atkins. Mm-hmm. He was actually supposed to be hung. And while he was getting ready to be hung, the trap door opened premature.
Oh, my gosh.
And he fell through, landed on his head. And they say it was a long, painful death. His spirit is seen all the time around the gallows area.
Interesting.
So those are three that I know of.
Okay, so like I was doing some research on it because, you know, we're going there. So I wanted to check this out. But listen to this. This is very interesting. So it's said that Moundsville Prison was constructed on land that once belonged to a Native American group. And that the Native Americans had constructed a unique burial ground to honor their dead on that particular part of the land.
Okay.
And when the ground was broke and they started the construction, that the construction crew actually built the facility on top of the sacred burial ground.
Yeah.
It's believed that the negative energy emerged from the deceased Native Americans and infiltrated the prison. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's kind of like, they say it's resulting why so many paranormal and unusual events have occurred there. And the ground that had been blessed for those who were buried there, but now an ancient curse has been left upon the land.
Yeah, and it's well known that when the prisoners were there, they would hear screams at night. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of noises that went on there, but there's a lot of stories of even prisoners seeing ghosts, seeing apparitions, hearing, you know, screams. Mm-hmm. It's known as one of the scariest places. That
one of the most, you know, notorious killers in America was there. Mm-hmm. So Charles Manson had spent time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At this particular prison. And it's interesting because he wrote a letter requesting to be transferred to this particular prison because he had, you know, like followers and people who resided close to that facility, which was, but he was denied.
Oh, okay. So that he would have visitors and stuff, or he could control.
Yeah, he wanted to be transferred there, and they denied it. Hmm. But the letter that he wrote, you can see at the prison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
We will see it next
week. I know, I'm so excited.
And as you're listening to this, we will be there.
Yes, being scared. But, so, you know, I think America in particular is just peppered with haunted prisons.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's just so much energy that had been, I don't want to say, like, riled up because of all of that activity and death and people being scared and aggressive. And,
well,
you know,
a lot of it, too, is the older prisons like that are all made of granite and all that. But
limestone.
Yeah, which, you know, the rock recordings. Another thing, too, is there was so much violence that went on. I mean, now I know that there's violence that goes on in prisons nowadays, but nothing like it was back then.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure there was overcrowding. There was, you know, a lot more things that went on because there was no cameras. You know, so it was probably a lot easier to commit violence against, you know, other prisoners or guards.
Yeah. And they, we'll hear about that in the interview too, because I remember him talking about that.
Yeah.
One other prison that we wanted to talk about.
So in my research, I was just wanted to see like what other, you know, cool prisons are out there that eventually we can go and visit and, and do some ghost hunting. And I came across the old Charleston Jail.
Okay.
Now it's in, let's see, Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah. Good one, Shoddy.
Was that the old one?
It was the old one. So it was used during the Civil War.
Okay.
And it was constructed in 1802, and it was in operation till like 1939.
Okay.
Or so. And it's very like a smaller prison, you know, it's not big what in compared to like a Mansfield, yeah, or, you know, where we're going in West, in Moundsville, but it had a really interesting lineup of different types of prisoners that were in there. So there were, like lawbreakers and, you know, 1800 gangs, runaway slaves were held there, but you found a really interesting story about one of the most famous prisoners who was at the old Charleston jail.
Oh, was that Lavina Fisher?
Yes.
Oh, she was there?
Yes.
Oh, so okay.
Tell us a little bit about. Yeah,
she was the first woman serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
She would actually, now she was married.
Okay.
Okay. And her husband were convicted of highway robbery.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he was kind of out of the picture, but one of the funny things, okay, so how she used to kill her victims,
mm-hmm,
is she would steal off of them. And the way that she would do it is she would lure the men into her bed. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the bed actually had a mechanism. I don't know how she built this or whatever, but where the bed would lift up,
mm-hmm,
and the men would fall down into a pit.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, she would poison them. And if that didn't help, you know, she would lift the bed up and they'd fall into a pit. And if that didn't kill them, she would beat them or whatever. And she would actually dispose of the bodies and stuff. I don't know exactly where. But one of the funny things that is believed that she did,
mm-hmm,
she would kill her victims by crushing their heads between her legs.
Oh my god!
Which is impossible.
Yeah, I mean, unless but maybe they suffocated or something.
That's one of the legends of how she killed her victims.
Yeah. So the place they had was called the 6 Mile Wayfarer.
Oh, you found it?
Wayfarer House.
Okay.
And it was 6 miles outside of Charleston. That's why they called it.
Oh.
So as people were traveling back and forth, they would stop and either for like refreshments,
okay,
which it was probably poison tea, or, you know, spend the night. And interesting that, okay, so she was held there in that prison as,
yeah,
well as her husband,
mm-hmm,
when they were going to trial. And what I found was that it was almost a year from the time that she was arrested until she was, you know, her execution date.
Yeah.
And she was going to be hung.
Okay.
And it's so funny because she's famously quoting for saying, as they put, yeah, the noose around her neck, if you have a message you want to send to hell, give it to me and, yeah, I'll carry it with me.
That's so funny.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the 6 Mile House was also used as a hotel and a hideout for a number of outlaws.
Wow.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
But she was the first woman serial killer, and she was in the jail that's in, yeah, South Charleston.
So that's just, and then some of the reportings in there is, you know, they hear screams, talking. They've heard singing. They thought was maybe some of the slaves that were in there, maybe like the old spirituals.
Oh, so okay.
Probably shadow figures. No. That I couldn't confirm.
Okay. But yeah, it's just prisons, just by their nature of violence and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just residual hauntings like galore. You know, Moundsville is one of the top residual haunted places that we're going to get great evidence from.
It's going to be amazing. I'm scared. Yeah, I'm scared to go there. You know, and like, I don't want them to pick up on my fear and run with it.
Yeah,
that's a thing. Like, you know,
but we'll do our normal
cleansings, yeah,
and all that.
Saging.
Yeah, I'll sage you. I'll beat you with the sage.
We need to get some fresh sage.
He'll be like, "No, you're not supposed to hit me with the sage," and I'll be like, "Cleanse thee, cleanse thee."
Set me on fire. Burn my eyebrows off.
So anyhow.
Anyways.
Okay, those are a few places that we want to talk about before we talk about Mansfield, which we've talked about a couple weeks ago, but we got a chance to talk to Robert about Mansfield Prison. And I didn't even know he was going to be there. And I was like, dude, we got to get you on the show. So he was like, yep, I'm coming over.
It was just, he's a very interesting, very knowledgeable. You guys will be surprised by what you hear from him.
Yeah. Let's go into the interview for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back after the interview. We'll be back, folks. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Oh, okay. And welcome to the show. Our guest is Robert. And he is part of the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. I'm sure a few of you have heard of that.
Yeah, maybe one or two people.
Probably just a few.
Yeah.
Joe and I were talking about how we think that is one of the most recognizable locations. Like if you say Mansfield or you say Ohio Reform, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Definitely. Yeah. So you're here today at the Paranormal Fair, and you guys have a vendor booth here, and just getting people to get the word out on the tours that you have. How did you get involved with the staff of the historic site?
Well, it goes back a ways. I've actually been a volunteer for about 8 years there. Oh. I've actually just got talked into giving tours.
Okay.
It's something I told everybody in the beginning I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. Well, the volunteer coordinator that we have now actually has talked me into it. So I gave it a try during the off season just to see if I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, now they're pushing me more into it, and I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable.
Okay.
But actually, I've been affiliated with the building for about 40 years. Now the kicker of it is I just turned 40 last Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So that now you're probably gears are probably starting to grind.
Robert, I'm blonde and I'm not good at math, so you're going to have to explain it to us.
My grandfather started there the late 50s, early 60s as a guard. He actually retired there December 31st, 1990, when the prison actually closed as assistant warden.
Wow, so he was there a long time.
Yeah, I actually have had my hair cut there. I've learned how to box inside the walls.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually seen the inside of the prison at its worst time, which was when it was maximum security.
Okay.
Not everybody has, you know, been able to experience that. So growing up there, so you're used to this place.
Yes.
So now that you're able to go wherever inside the building, tell us about a little bit of like what you've experienced and what you've, come to know about this building since it's not a working prison anymore.
We, as volunteers and the staff there, we actually respect the guys that are still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we come in the morning to open tours up and for stores and that up, and we start turning lights on, we'll actually walk down the cell block and say, hey guys, good morning. We've got so-and-so group coming in. It's a pretty decent-sized group. You know, we kind of act like they're still there.
Yeah.
You know, like, we see them. Then in the evenings when we close up, we'll say, hey guys, good night. Building's yours. Just don't tear it down.
Yeah.
You know, type things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we have fun with them. Mm-hmm. So they kind of respect us a little bit.
Okay.
To the point where three or four of our staff members actually have doppelgangers.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And hopefully a lot of people know what doppelgangers are. To the point where they've come out of some of the doors that we're standing by and turn a corner, and no matter they turn the corner, they come somewhere else talking to us.
Wow.
Oh, now that's something I'd love to see.
Yeah, it kind of shoves chills down your back when you see them go one way, then like no more than 2 seconds later they come back from the other way. Yeah, there's ways around to where they come from, but not as quick as that.
Okay.
I mean, our one lady, she's actually got a guy that flirts with her over by the west shower area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he won't flirt with anybody else. He'll just flirt with her.
Oh.
Does he touch her, or is it more verbal, or?
Just playing with her, like her hair and stuff like that.
That's interesting, because when I went through, I had my hair tugged in one of the cells.
Yeah, which was kind of cool. There's been a few reports that some of the women, like in around solitary area, actually get groped and stuff like that. But you got to think, it's a male's prison.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, those guys, sometimes some of those guys haven't seen a female in who knows how long.
Yeah.
So.
One of the things I was thinking of, when the prison was open and being used as a prison, Did a lot of the inmates talk about seeing people walk by, or
they
almost? What I'm thinking of is more of like a time slip thing, because I've heard of that where the prisoners. I know someone that says that they were there as a prisoner, and or her brother, I should say, but. He said that it was a really creepy place, and he always heard people talking, and he heard, you know, like ghosts.
Yeah, they actually, we do have inmates come back. It's kind of a closure for them.
Okay.
Yeah, they leave as a parole, leave on parole, or they serve their time, and they still get out. But to them, coming back, we take them up and let them see themselves.
Okay.
And when they leave, you can see that just that cool sensation go over top of them once they get back outside, mm-hmm. and they close that chapter of the book. They have told us, some of us, stories about laying in bed at night. They'll hear sounds like a guard's coming by the cell.
Okay.
They can hear the footsteps walking. They look up. There ain't nobody walking by their cell.
Hmm. That's interesting.
You know, the goosebumps.
It's like, actually, yesterday morning when I was opening the route up, I was over by the warden's dining room. And I happened to hear a guy came into like a doorway and start mm-hmm. laughing. So as I go across the other side of the building, I come down and ask the two ladies that was there with me and says, am I the only guy in the building? And they go, yeah, why? I says, I just heard a guy like right in this area like laughing, clear as day.
Oh, wow.
They're like, you're the only one. It's just us three.
Yeah.
There's been times you sit in the main hallway, you can hear the old-fashioned galvanized mop buckets
okay.
coming down the hallway, and you can hear the guys mopping the floors.
Ooh.
I mean,
a lot of residual stuff going on.
So it's amazing. It's pretty active. Mm-hmm. We just had a public hunt last night, and it was real active last night.
Is there certain times of the month or year that the activity is more intense? Like maybe during a full moon or during closer to Halloween? Or
It comes and goes. Like we tell a lot of people, we don't have union ghosts.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't tell them, hey, you need to come out at 2:30 right. in the morning in the solitary, you know.
Yeah. Right, right.
But one of the big times we do, it does get pretty active from what I've seen so far this year. We have a photo shoot right around February, and it's a kiosk photo shoot. And the group's from, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin area, and they do bring models down.
Okay.
And some of the models are dressed
scantily,
yes, and they take pictures. I mean, walk around the area they're using for a dressing room with nothing on,
yeah,
you know, going to other people's wardrobes, borrowing stuff. And then the next night, that night, we have a ghost hunt.
Okay,
it gets pretty active,
yeah.
Like this year, we had that photo shoot, then the next day, we had a Zumbathon,
okay,
and you know, you got another group of females in there mm-hmm. wearing spandex.
Yeah.
So that Sunday night, there was a ghost hunt. I mean, things were bouncing off the walls in there.
Oh, man.
The spirits were excited.
Yep.
No pun intended.
The spirits are popping out everywhere.
What other types of, I mean, this is a, you know, big, beautiful facility, and it's just an amazing building, but what other types of events do you have besides ghost hunt?
Well, when you said big, yes, it's big. It's 350,000 square feet.
You get your exercise walking around yeah. the place.
Yeah.
Wear comfortable shoes.
Yep. We tell people, some of the tours that they sign up for, we tell them that they're taking our cardio workout tour.
Okay.
Because the all one's the stair climb.
Okay.
But some of the other events we do, matter of fact, next weekend we have a 2-day car show. It's actually called Drop and Destroy.
Okay.
Most of the cars that are showing up are kind of like imports that are on airbags and stuff like that.
Okay.
After that, June 1st, I believe it is.
Okay.
We have a one day of, not June 1st, July 1st. Sorry about that.
Okay.
July 1st. It's a one day event. It's called Beards Behind Bars. Not beer, but Beards.
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 And there's three different local groups. One's from Cleveland, one's from Akron, the other one's actually from Kentucky.
Okay.
They're all coming up there for a competition. I know it sounds weird, but they actually measure the length of the beard.
Oh,
they actually
ZZ Top.
Yes, ZZ Top or Duck Dynasty type of beards. But they measure that, the softness of them.
Oh, really?
I mean, the judges, they've announced some of the judges, and they're from all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was that big. But actually here in June, I'm trying to remember the date. I believe it's the 17th area. We actually have a thing called the Shawshank Hustle.
Okay.
It's a 7K run or walk. It starts at the Reformatory. It goes up through downtown Mansfield, past a lot of the Shawshank movie places.
Okay.
Like the pawn shop where Red looks at the pistols and that, but he ends up buying a compass.
Okay.
Where Brooks sat down on the park bench downtown to feed the pigeons, hoping that his friend the crow would show up, you know, Jake. And it comes back. And the people that pay for the run also gets a mission into the prison.
Oh, that's cool. So cool. Now, you know, everybody knows Shawshank. It's one of the, you know, greatest movies that was ever made. have there been other movies and videos filmed at the prison?
Yes. Shawshank and the next one I'm going to announce have been filmed there when it was a non-operational prison.
Okay.
Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually the movie site for the Russian Bula, which is actually a Russian the Russian prison.
Okay.
Where the general come out of the cell block area, he signed for his uniform, and they issued him his uniform and everything back. That was all shot inside.
Okay.
Our side courtyard was turned into the, looks like a little miniature yard.
Mm-hmm.
They put a wall up, fiberglass wall and stuff up with the big iron gate that you've seen in the movie.
Oh, okay.
So where he got shot in the helicopter landing was all right there on site.
Cool.
Now, the other two movies, we actually had a Class B horror movie shot there. It was called Falling Angels. The other two movies that were filmed there was back in the 1970s, they shot one there. It was called Harry and Water Went to New York.
Okay.
It wasn't the greatest. It was more of a, they call them, you know, a spoof movie now type deal, but it was kind of a comical movie for the time.
Okay.
And they utilized, you know, the railroad that was beside the prison and everything like that. The second movie that was shot there was about 89-90. It had Tango. It was called Tango and Cash.
Oh.
With Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell. That was shot there. And some of the things that I like to point out on my tours is, in the movie, you have guards that are in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those guards that are dressed up as guards are inmates.
Oh, really?
And there's also guards dressed as guards.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And like the inmate side, yeah, there was inmates dressed as inmates for the movie. Plus, some of those inmates were guards.
Were dressed as guards. That's cool.
Kind of keep the ruckus down.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
There was actually one incident that there was an actual inmate. They actually had to lock him in solitary because he actually had a beef with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, no.
And Sylvester Stallone did not know who this guy was.
Yeah.
He just didn't like his movies.
Yeah.
So they locked him in solitary until all the filming was done. So if they did shoot somewhere close, he wouldn't stir up anything.
That's neat, because those are the stories that people never even think about.
Yeah. There's been several music videos filmed there. One of them was Lil Wayne, the rapper.
Yeah.
He actually shot a video there. It was called Go DJ. And the reason why the cell that he actually picked for the video, it's actually cell 60 on the west side.
Okay.
And the only reason why he picked it, because he thought it said go.
Oh, okay.
Because it was cell 60.
Yeah.
And the way they made sixes back then on the cell looked like a G.
A G,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Then the cell right beside him was actually used in a Godsmack video.
Yeah, it's just amazing that, you know, these historic sites just don't sit there and rot. You can use them, you know, for these great productions or, you know, just to teach people about the history of the sites and land. Now, you had mentioned earlier that prior to it being a prison, there was Civil War activity?
Yes.
In that area? And then before that, was there Native
there in the area.
That's amazing. Like, Joe and I were talking, we were saying how all roads lead to Mansfield. It's almost like, you know, Ohio is like the heart of USA, but Mansfield is like the heart of
Ohio.
Well,
Mansfield's known as Mid Ohio.
Okay.
Even though it's not really in the middle of Ohio, but that's why it's, for some reason, it's called Mid Ohio. You know, you've got 71 that runs close by. You've got 30 runs, 30s, you know, is a national highway.
Okay.
From one side of the country to the other side of the country. You know, parts of it is the Lincoln Highway.
Yeah.
And it runs through Mansfield.
So no one has an excuse not to come out
there.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, going back to some of the events that you were telling us, in July, the weekend of the 14th, 15th, and 16th, we have a three-day tattoo and music convention.
Oh, interesting.
They got some national bands coming. Mm-hmm. Like Friday night's headliner is In This Moment.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Saturday we have Three Doors Grace, and Sunday we have Therapy of a Dead Man.
Hmm.
Along with Mushroomhead, some of the other ones we can't name right now because they're still in concert venues close by.
Yeah.
So those are the ones.
I actually saw that event and I'm like, we need to go to that. But yeah, okay, so tell us again, and we'll definitely put it in our show notes, but how do people go and actually see what events are going on or sign up for a public hunt?
I believe the website is msps.org.
Okay.
It's actually, or you can type in your search bar, Mansfield Reformatory.
Okay.
Or Ohio State Reformatory.
Yeah, and like we say, it's like if anybody's into the paranormal, they know about it. But
yep. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, it surprises us. We had a group go out to a Halloween con out in St. Louis here over the winter. And the one guy says he couldn't believe he's seen Mansfield hoodies and stuff out in that area.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of made them feel pretty good that, yeah. You know. Plus, we have a haunted house coming up in October.
Okay.
So you guys do a haunted house at the prison?
Yes, we do.
And oh my gosh. That's so cool. And, oh, man. That would scare me. Like, I don't like people bopping out at me.
And a lot of...
I chase ghosts, but I'm scared of haunted houses.
And believe it or not, a lot of our characters we have in a haunted house are original characters.
Okay.
They're not movie characters. Or nothing like that. Because mm-hmm. some of our ties actually go back to Hollywood.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's got to be a big deal. It's a big production, right?
Yeah, so we just shot a 30-second commercial over last weekend. And, yeah, I was there. I was actually there for Shawshank.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them film some of Shawshank there because I was actually in Shawshank.
Oh, were you?
Yes, nice. I was one of the inmates banging on the fence.
Oh, yeah. My God, we have to watch it and see it for you.
And the production, you know, for a movie, yeah, it took a while for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But in your head, a 30-second commercial, how long can it take? We were actually there two nights from 5 till midnight on a Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So 14 hours to shoot 30 seconds worth of a commercial. Now I can understand why the Super Bowl commercials are $5-6 million commercials.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, so we're so looking forward to coming down and doing our own hunt. You know, Joe's never been there, so we got to get him down there, Robert. But we'll definitely look for you when we do come down. Appreciate you giving us all this information about Mansfield. Anything else, Joe?
No, that's it.
Great.
Well, thank you.
But thanks for stopping by. Yeah. I see a ton of people always by your booth. And just keep up the good work.
Yes.
And keep
these
historical buildings still going.
Yeah, a lot of the money that comes into the buildings, like your guys' ghost hunts you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, where's that money go? You know, is it going in somebody's pocket, somebody's paycheck or something like that? But there's actually evidence of us showing people that, like the windows in front of the cell block, mm-hmm. the restoration projects where there are new museums going in and stuff like that, they can actually see where their money's going.
Yeah, people don't realize that. And it takes a ton of money to keep these places up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, support projects like Mansfield so future generations can come and visit and remember the history mm-hmm. and enjoy these type of events and ghost hunting. And one thing I want to mention is respect the building that you go into.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Don't, you know, we had a show on the do's and don'ts of ghost hunting, and one of them is just be respectful of the place, you know?
Yeah, we don't
peel the paint off the walls.
Well, see, that's one thing we make a joke about on our tours for safety thing. We tell them there is lead-based paint inside mm-hmm. the building, so make sure you wash your hands after you leave. And we tell them that if we have to actually say something, it probably has happened before.
Yeah.
We tell them don't eat paint chips.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't taste
really,
like... Yeah, we don't...
Really
yeah.
eat paint? No way.
Yeah, we tell them all the colors taste the same, you know.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, we may have fun on our tours. We make it enjoyable for a lot of people. And each tour guide that gives a tour, you might come in on a Saturday and get a History Meets Hollywood tour, with say, with Ryan... Come back the next week and get a tour with, say, with Michelle.
Okay.
And one the following week with me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all going to be the same information, but it's going to be different areas you're going to get that information.
Okay.
We put our own little twist on mm-hmm. the tours and stuff.
I got to ask you one question.
Yes.
Has anything ever scared you in there?
We do walk through, and sometimes we get, you know, the hair on the back of our neck rises and stuff. But with me having ties to the building, with my grandfather retiring from there as warden, assistant warden and stuff, the spirits, I feel the spirits know the connection, family connection and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've walked down through the cell blocks turning stuff off, and I hear my grandfather's last name holler and say, "Hey, Campbell, good night."
Oh, wow.
Which, cool. You know, I turn around and look up and like, okay, who said that, you know? But yeah, I've had some experiences. I've had scratches on my back. Last summer at our volunteer picnic and that, I've actually been chained to the wall in the sub basement. So the guy that's in the sub basement, me and him's got a mutual thing where he lets me know if he wants me to come down and see him.
Okay.
Or if not. If he doesn't, I stay out of his space and he leaves me alone. So it's kind of that mutual thing.
Yeah.
Is there any areas of the prison that you've been in that the public isn't allowed to go in that's spooky? For lack of a better term.
General tour area, the places that the general public can't go in unless you buy the behind the scenes or you're ghost hunting. Mm. The place that I kind of like, it's kind of spooky, is the attic area, which is above the west cell block.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been up there.
And the only time that's open is to ghost hunters and behind the scene tours.
Okay.
Sub basement, it's kind of eerie down there and stuff.
Is the sub basement different than the solitary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's actually more open. There's some areas down there that, yes, some other torture methods over the years have happened down there. But I ain't going to let anything out. I want you guys to come and listen, give you enough to wet your tongue and to come and get some more. So...
All right. Yes. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
This is a blast.
Yes.
And we'll definitely come down and see you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Yep.
Yeah. And what a great interview. What did you think?
I was really surprised, like, how tied he is to that person.
I know. I'm like, wait a minute. How long have you been there?
All his life.
I was like, dude. You have been there your whole life.
He knows, you know.
Yeah, he knows.
And you know what's interesting is I don't feel like these spirits attached themselves to him.
No, not at all.
Like they want to stay there. Mm-hmm. They don't want to come home with him because they know he's going to be there every day.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah. I can't wait to get there. We got to go back, Joe.
We will. You know, and.
Well, I'll go back. You haven't been there yet.
Well, what I meant was we will go there.
We are going.
We will go there. We're and going. It's close. We're going. It's only, I want to say a 20-minute, maybe 30-minute drive beyond the Gill House, which we want to talk about the Gill House because in a week.
Yes, only a week left.
Only a week left to get your tickets. We are doing a private ghost hunt at the Gill House.
With us.
Private with us.
Yeah.
Very small group. And there's a couple of tickets left. So get up there. And what you do is go to our events page on Facebook. And on the events page, you'll see a link to
Brown Paper Tickets.
Yep.
And just type in 222 Paranormal and you'll find us. Or that link should take you
direct.
The
link will take you
direct to it.
So just go up on Facebook and look up at our events page and you'll see it. Go to our page. You'll see it. It's right there. Right there. Just go to the page.
I think they're there already.
Yeah. So anyways, I want to thank everybody for listening.
Even our cousin. Especially our cousins, I should have meant to say. And all of you, because without you, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't make it this morning to the breakfast.
No worries. There'll be another.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Peace out, everybody.